I'd like for you to open your Bibles once again to Daniel chapter 6. I'm going to continue the message that I started this morning. Go back briefly for a moment and bring you, re-familiarize you with what was said this morning. Hit the high points and then continue on with the message. We're talking about the man, Daniel, about his person, about who he was, his character, and what made him such a great individual for God. We read in the third verse that the Bible says, "Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes." And I remind you that he's in Babylon when this statement was made. He was preferred above the Babylonians. He was a Hebrew, yet he was preferred among the presidents and the princes of Babylon. In other words, his testimony was impeccable. People had confidence in him. His word was solid and true. And so he was respected. And then we are told why he was preferred. In verse 3, it says, "Because an excellent spirit was in him." Now, if you remember from this morning, this word spirit is not talking about the Holy Spirit, but it is talking about man's spirit. God is three, yet one. He is Father, Son, and Spirit, and these three are one. He created us in His image. We are a tripart being as well. We are three, yet one. We are body, soul, and spirit, and those three are one. And so when it says here that he had an excellent spirit was in him, what this is saying is not that the Holy Spirit, it's not talking about the Holy Spirit, but it's talking about him living a spirit-controlled life as opposed to a flesh, to a body-controlled life. He lived a life that was governed by his spirit, by the spiritual part of him, if you will. It was dominant. His spirit ran the show instead of his body running the show. And so we then talked about how that this is what we're to have within ourselves, an excellent spirit. Now, I want us to pray, and then I want to add a couple of things that I thought of this afternoon that I wished I had said this morning. But let's pray together and ask the Lord to bless, and then we'll proceed with the message, an excellent spirit. Let's pray. Our Father, we're so very thankful for the music and for the spirit that's in this place tonight. And Lord, thank you for every person that is here. And I pray that you will bless us richly tonight. Lord, I pray you will help me as I speak. I pray that you will guide and direct my thoughts, that you will empower the things that I say, that they'll not just be words that go out of my mouth, but Lord, they'll be words that are backed with the Holy Spirit's unction, so that they pierce into our hearts and give us a conviction of heart. And Lord, create and establish that excellent spirit within us. Lord, it's the things of God, the Word of God, the principles of God, the truths of God that create that spirit within us. So Lord, I pray that you will bless tonight as the Word of God is preached. May each and every one of us give attention to the things of the Lord tonight. Lord, whether we're a visitor or whether we're a member of the church, whether we're a worker or choir member, Lord, it doesn't matter. Just help us all to get something tonight that will benefit us in our daily walk with you. So, Lord, bless us together, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. I want to continue. But before I continue the message and give you the last of the message, I want to review for just a moment the statement that was made here. it says that Daniel was preferred because an excellent spirit was in him. I dealt with the word excellent and told you that whenever we use the word, when we think of the word excellent, we think of something that is noble, something that is fine, or something that is admirable. But when I researched the word that was used in the Hebrew language, the etymology of the word has another significance. It takes it just, I would say, just one step further. Excellent is something that excels. It is something that goes beyond. It is something that that predominates. And that is what is being said here about Daniel. The idea is that he had a spirit within him that excelled, that went beyond the flesh. And that was the thing that I was trying to get across to you this morning, was the fact that every one of us has a body, a soul, and a spirit. And one of those is going to be predominant in your life. You're either going to be a spiritual person, or you're going to be a fleshly, worldly, carnal person. You're either going to be controlled by the spirit, or you're going to be controlled by the flesh. Every person in here who knows Christ as Savior is going to have to deal with that subject. And when you get down to it, that's the conflict area. When you get down to it, every Sunday we come in here and I stand behind this pulpit and I open to a passage of Scripture and I read it for you. And then I try to introduce you to the thought that's on my heart. And usually the thing that's on my heart is either to try to convince unsaved people that they need to get saved, or it is to convince Christians not to be worldly minded and not to be carnally minded, but to be spiritually minded, to walk with God, to read your Bible. I had, after the early service this morning, I had a mother stop me and she said, "Pastor, what if you have a child who does not have an excellent spirit?" I said, "Well, then you create one." And she said, "Well, Pastor, what if my child is in their 20s? How do you create an excellent spirit in your child when you have no control over your child?" And I said, "Well, therein lies the problem." And she said, "Pastor, we did not have the advantage that so many folks in the church had, where we were saved when we were young and we raised our children in the church. We didn't have that privilege. It's not like I listened and did not hear. It's not like I heard the message but did not believe or did not obey." She said, "We just recently got saved. And now my children are grown, and you described my children to a T this morning. And I realized that they're, although they're my children and I love them, they do not have an excellent spirit." And I said, "Well, you need to come back tonight, because tonight I'm going to talk about another thing that made Daniel a man of an excellent spirit, and that is the matter of prayer. You can pray for your children." But now let me stop and say this. If you have little ones at home, if your kids are still at home, if they are still under your authority, I'm going to tell you where and how an excellent spirit is created, and I'm holding it in my hand right here. This book is going to be the difference. It will make the difference in your children. I was not saved until I was 16 years of age. And from the time I was 13 years of age until the time I was 16 years of age, I was completely enveloped and engulfed and a follower of the world and its music and its philosophy and everything else connected to it. All I wanted to do was satisfy the sin nature and the flesh that was in me. For 2 years, I was the lead vocalist in in a rock band, and we went to bars and nightclubs as a 14 and 15 year old kid. Went to bars and nightclubs and high schools and gyms and played the top 40 songs and just really whoever invited us to come wanted to hear. And so I was saturated in the world and in its music. I had it in my head. I had it in my heart. But I got saved. And when I got saved, I knew that nobody had to tell me that rock and roll music was wrong. Nobody had to tell me that. I knew that it was wrong because I had lived in it for 3 years. And when God saved me, I never will forget Pastor James Efall taking that red Bible he had and shaking that Bible at me when I was standing at the front of the church and people in shock that I had gotten saved. Yeah, Pastor said, folks, can I remind you, God is still on the throne, amen. Yeah, that's what he said. Everybody was shocked. They couldn't believe it. But there I was standing, and I never will forget. He took that Bible, that red Bible, and shook it at me, and he said, now, son, you read this Bible every day of your life. And I did not realize how important that statement was to me until I realized that, man, if he'd have told me to go out and walk on water, I would have tried it. I mean, I would have tried it because thank God for a preacher that preaches the gospel, and he preached the gospel and I got saved. And when I got saved, I knew I was saved. And I just wanted to do what I was supposed to do. And there he was, shaking that Bible at me, saying, get in this Bible, read it every day of your life. And folks, I have learned over the 35 years that I've been saved, this Bible is the answer that we're looking for. And everybody wants to run to this counselor and that counselor and this therapist and that therapist. Get in the book. The Bible is your book. And it has the answers. And that's how you're going to create an excellent spirit in your children. Train your children. Train a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he won't depart. Get him in the Word of God. Get the Word of God in their hearts. And that's how you create an excellent spirit within them. So here's old Daniel, and he's got an excellent spirit. The word excellent has the idea of that which excels, that which goes beyond, that which predominates. And that is what is being said about Daniel. Now, four things, going back to the first chapter, four things were then, I didn't get to them all, got to one this morning, but four things I'm going to show you about his excellent spirit. His excellent spirit did four things. First, it made him a man of purpose. Secondly, it made him a man of prayer. Thirdly, it made him a man of perception. And fourthly, it made him a man of power. Now, we looked this morning at the first one. Daniel was a man of purpose. In chapter 1 and verse 8, they're in Babylon and they're being held captive. And the Bible says in verse 8 that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. Now, you say, well, what's that mean? Well, it simply means this. Here's Daniel, and he's a spiritual man. He's not a fleshly man. You say, well, wasn't he hungry? Of course he was hungry. My soul, he's a human being. He was hungry. But he had something else that controlled him instead of his appetites. He had a spiritual part of him that controlled him. And he knew what the law of God said. He knew what God told him he could eat and what he could not eat. And here comes these Babylonians, and they don't follow God's dietary law. And they just bring whatever meat in there they wanted to bring, cooked any old way they wanted to cook it. They set it down in front of them. And Daniel looks at that and says, I can't eat that. Well, why not? Well, because it's not according to the law. Well, this is all you're getting. Well, then we'll just go without. You see, he had the ability to make up his mind and then follow through with what he said he was going to do. a man of purpose. Folks, purpose is at the beginning of everything. And I emphasize to you this morning that there are millions of people who are born and they grow and they drift into sin when they get into junior high. My soul now in elementary school. When they get into elementary school and junior high school and high school and they drift into sin and they go into evil practices because of a lack of a definite and positive committal of themselves to some position. In other words, they lack having purpose. Our purpose ought to be to put the Lord Jesus Christ first in our lives. I'm just going to serve the Lord come what may. And purpose in life is all important. Now, I illustrated that point and spoke to you about some folks that I said just don't get it. They just don't get it. And there are going to be folks that just don't get it. Thank God there are a lot of people that do get it. You with me on that? I mean, there are a lot of people that do get it. But the point that I made in the first sermon this morning, get yourself a purpose. Young people, get yourself a purpose. Purpose in your heart. Make up your mind that you're not going to defile yourself with the meats of this world. You ought to just make up your mind, sitting right here tonight, young person, that you're going to do what God wants you to do in your life. You're not going to do what your old sinful flesh tells you to do. You're not going to just go out here and rebel and break mom and dad's heart and break your youth pastor's heart and your pastor's heart and destroy and ruin your life on a bottle or on drugs or with sin. You're just going to do what God wants you to do. Just make up your mind. That's what Daniel did. He purposed in his heart. What's that mean? It means he made up his mind that he was going to do the right thing. So get yourself a purpose. His deepest purpose was loyalty to God. And I like that. And I tell you, it was all because he had an excellent spirit within him. So do you see how it works? You see how it works, folks? You get your nose in this book. It all goes back to the same theme that you hear every week and you've heard for the last 10 years. Get in the book. Get in the book. Get in the book. Get in the book. And when you get in the book, you get an excellent spirit within you. And that excellent spirit will cause you to have the right kind of purpose. Now, second thing. Everybody got the first point? All right. I'm tempted to go, well, I almost did preach it again. 20 minutes I spent on that. Number two. I did not mean to do that. Honest, I didn't. Number two. Maybe I'll just preach the second point and I'll do the third one next Sunday morning, next one next Sunday night. I don't know. Number two. Daniel was a man of prayer. Daniel was not only a man of purpose, but secondly, Daniel was a man of prayer. Nothing stands out any more clearly about Daniel than in this book than that he was a man of prayer. When he was called by the king to interpret his dream, Daniel called his friends together and he said, guys, I got to go in and I got to interpret a dream for the king. I want you boys to pray for me. I want you boys to pray for me so that God will give me the answer. And of course, you continue on in the book and what do you read? You read about his routine, his habit of praying. Three times every day, morning, noon, and night, he would open his window and he would turn towards the city of Jerusalem and he would then pray to the Lord. And of course, that got him in trouble. You remember the story. They finagled around and got the king to make a law without knowing it impacted Daniel, his good buddy. And they got the king to make a law that anybody who prays to God would be thrown in the lion's den. And so the king made the law, and then they trapped Daniel, sure enough, caught him praying, and they said that they had to throw him in the lion's den. So they took him, threw him in the lion's den, and got him thrown in the lion's den, but then he had enough power and prayer to stop the mouths of the lions. Amen. Doesn't get any better than that, does it? So here, in this second point, we see the underlying thing that fulfilled his purpose. He was a man of purpose, number one. But now here's the underlying buttress for his purpose. He was a man of prayer. Strong purpose is powerful in execution only as we are dependent upon God. And that's what prayer is. Prayer is you and I being dependent upon God. It is us going to the Lord in a time of need. It is us going to the Lord and fellowshipping with Him and trusting Him and depending upon Him. A man purposed to do right and then depending upon God is invincible. Let me tell you something, Christian. If purpose is found in your heart, what's next? Well, I'll tell you what's next. Be a man of prayer. Be a man of prayer. If you've got conviction, if you've got purpose, if you've got a stand and you've taken that stand, then the next thing to follow is for you to be an individual of prayer. It is in prayer, once purpose has been formed in the heart, that strength is found to fulfill your purpose. It is in prayer that wisdom is given to you to make the right moves. You see, it is in prayer where your convictions are established and given stability. You can't do without prayer if you're going to have an excellent spirit within you. You say, well, praise God, here's my purpose, all right? Then back that purpose with prayer. You've got to back that purpose with prayer. And this all begins with a person in whom an excellent spirit prevails. An excellent spirit will give you purpose, and then purpose will drive you to pray. Now, if you have no purpose and just do whatever your flesh wants you to do, when the consequences of having no purpose happen to you, and they will, it will then be too late to pray. You see, you can't sow wild oats and then pray for a poor harvest. Doesn't work that way. You can't say, fooey on the church, fooey on mom and dad, fooey on Carol Christian, fooey on the pastor, fooey on the rules. I'm only going to do what I want to do. I'm tired of everybody telling me what to do. All right, you just go ahead then and do your own thing. But mark it down, sin has a price tag to it. And then when you get out there and you start sinning and doing your own thing, and all of a sudden it comes payday, and you're on your knees and you don't know where to turn, and you start, oh God, oh God, oh God. Listen, God's not going to swoop down and magically and mystically remove you from all of your trials and heartaches. Is that right, Rob? There's going to be some growth. There's going to be some trial. There's going to be some heartache. There's going to be some trouble. Oh, listen, He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You can mark that down. But, dear friend, let me tell you something. You cannot go out here and rebel against God, lose your purpose, and then just say, I'm not going to live by the Spirit. I'm going to live by the flesh. I'm going to do what I want to do and expect that everything's just going to be hunky-dory. It's not going to be. It's not going to be. We were talking the other day at the house, Thanksgiving Day, and then I was talking to the Gettners about this morning. Our society is spiraling out of control so quickly. I mean, so quickly. And Larry mentioned it to me this morning. He was talking about the NFL halftime programs. He said, good night. You can't let your kids watch the NFL halftime programs. I mean, our society's out of control. What's right has become wrong. What's wrong has become right. What would never get past the censors just 2 or 3 years ago is now just why everybody's doing it. That's the mindset and the mentality. That's what everybody thinks. And we were talking at the house the other day, what kind of world are all these little babies that we have around here going to have to face when they get to be teenagers? What kind of world are they going to have to face? my soul, right now, everything imaginable is available to any person who has no purpose. If you're a person without purpose, and evidently there's an awful lot of people without purpose, I mean, you get the Sunday newspaper and open it up, and there's all the list of people that have been arrested in the last month. What are they? People without a purpose. And here's one arrested for drugs, and here's one arrested for driving drunk, and here's one arrested for burglary. Why was he burglarizing? I'll tell you, he's trying to get money to buy drugs. I mean, you know, you sit there and look at the newspaper, and here's page and a whole section, and then you flip, it says continued on page 4, and you flip it up, and sure enough, there's a whole bunch more names. Every year, the number of tags grows that we put on the Christmas tree. Why? Because we're not getting better as a society, folks. Our world is not evoluting to a higher level. We're devoluting to a lower level. We're getting worse. Everything imaginable is available to any person who has no purpose. Folks, let me tell you something. Get yourself a purpose. Train your children to have a purpose. Set them down and teach them the things of God and establish that they need to put the Lord first. Put God first. What's God have to say about this? I can remember just shortly after I was saved, I came home one day from school and my mother said something to me and, how'd your day go or whatever? And I just went off on what an awful day I had. And my mother looked over and she said, "Are you finished?" And I said, "I think so." And she said, "Well, let me ask you this. Did you pray about it?" No. My mother taught me to pray about things. Train your children to pray about things. Let me ask you something, parents. While you're raising your children, you best throw into the mix this matter of purpose and teach them this matter of depending upon God. Purpose and prayer. You see, even with purpose, you're going to have to pray. We're going to have our perils, especially if we do what is right. But that is why we need to learn good habits of prayer. Hold your place. Well, it doesn't matter. Turn over to the book of Hebrews for just a minute, chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Let me show you something in Hebrews 4. This is another one of those little tidbits I found and just been waiting on the opportunity to use it. Here it is. Look at Hebrews 4, verse 16. This is a familiar verse. You know this verse. It says, verse 16, "Let us," that's you and me, that's all of us, "let us, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace." Why? "That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." We're going to have our problems, you see, and especially if we have purpose. So, therefore, we need to pray. But thank God, the Lord knew that, and He gave us right of access to the throne. Now look at it. "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." See that little phrase at the end of the verse? Find grace to help in time of need. See that little phrase, in time of need? That is a Hebrew or a Greek colloquialism. Now, you know what a colloquialism is? That's a little saying. It's just for that language or for that people. Like all my little West Virginia hillbillyisms. All right? I got to explain most of them to you in Maryland. All right? There are some hillbillies here and you get them, but Some of you Maryland folks, you'll come up and say, "What?" I said this morning, someone said, how you feeling, Pastor?" I've been sick with the flu all week. And somebody said, "How you feeling, Pastor?" I said, "About 3 and a hill. Now, I said that this morning, and some of y'all were sitting there looking at me, "What?" All right, you have a potato hill. All right, and you get about 15, 20 potatoes in there, you're doing good. If you only get three in a hill, it's not good. All right, that's better than none, but it's not all that good. So I said, you say, how you doing? About three in a hill. All right, so I'm not all that good, but I'm functioning. That's what I mean by that. All right? So that's what a colloquialism is. Now, there's a fascinating colloquialism that is used here in this verse. And here it is. Look at your Bible. That ye may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the nick of time. And in the nick of time. That's literally what it's saying. You say, well, what's that mean? Folks, right then, right there, when the peril comes, we can find grace and mercy and help in the nick of time. Why? Because we're saved. We've got Christ in our lives. We are children of God. We have throne rights. We don't have to say, oh, wait a minute, stand right here, and then run back to the church house, get on our knees, cross ourselves 19 times, sprinkle holy water all over everything, and have 14 people come in and pray for us in succession. No, you are already in the position where you, as a child of God, can get a hold of the Lord. In the nick of time, right there when you need it. That's what Daniel found out. There he is. They take him and they say, you can't pray. Well, yes, I can. Well, we'll throw you in the lion's den. Well, that's up to you. Well, but you're going to pray anyway? Yes, I am. Well, why are you going to do that? Because it's right to pray. That's why. And they threw him down in there and God gave him lockjaw. And they come in the next morning, look down in there, and there's old Daniel standing in there. Thank you, Lord. He found grace to help in the nick of time. And that's when you and I are going to find our grace to help in the nick of time if we use our right of access to the throne. Oh, you're going to be tempted. You're going to have to fight some battles if you've got purpose. You're going to have to take a stand or two along the way. But you do not do it alone if you have purpose. There is grace to help in the nick of time. And thank the Lord there is. Number three, Daniel was number three, a man of perception. A man of perception. Now, I got to hurry through these last two and then we'll get done. Number three, Daniel was a man of perception. There is no doubt that the gift, now listen carefully to what I'm about to say. There is no doubt that the gift of interpretation was given to Daniel for specific purposes. But the immediate application, listen now, the immediate application for us is that a man who has made his purpose and who prays will be given a clarity of vision that will enable him to accomplish the divine work allotted to him. Amen. You see, once you've got purpose, and then you've got prayer that is a buttress to your purpose, where you're getting grace and strength, you're going to be a Christian who has a little bit of spiritual insight, a little bit of perception, the ability to see some things that others just cannot see. You'll be able to see the dangers that are out there that your children are not able to see. You'll be able to see the things so that you can protect them and keep them away from that which would harm them. A spirit of discernment. The ability to see. Let me say this in the negative. A man who has no purpose and never prays will have no perception. And the flesh is just going to eat that person alive. A person who has no perception and never prays is not going to have any perception. And their flesh is going to eat them up. It's just going to eat them up. I don't know if it worked. I'll find out when I get to heaven. I have a sneaking suspicion that it worked because of the way they turned out. But when my children were little, I used to sit and point out the beer commercials. And I would say, you see that stuff right there? That stuff's bad. All that stuff will ruin your life. It'll kill you. Don't you ever drink that stuff. I remember seeing, before they took them off the air, the cigarette ads and the whiskey ads and all the rest of them. And I say, you see that right there? Don't you ever smoke one of them. If anybody ever comes up and offers you one of them, just take it away from them and just shove it down their throat as far as your fist will go. You say, you said that? Sure, I said that. Did you ever shove it down anybody's throat? No. See? But he got the point. He got the point. And I would say, son, if anybody ever walks up and offers you a can of beer, here's what you do. And then I'd get this grin on my face. I'd say, you take that can of beer from him, and you just grab him by the back of the head. You just shove it down as far down to where your elbow is rubbing on his front teeth. And Josh would just sit there and just cackle laughing. Now, folks, unless you were born yesterday, you can't physically do that. So, you know, don't know, gosh, I can't believe a preacher said that. Well, he turned out all right. I mean, I don't know if it worked or not, but I do remember teaching all three of them when they were little. I do remember teaching them, don't ever smoke a cigarette. Don't ever take a drink of beer. Don't ever take a drink of whiskey. Don't ever do anything that is going to get its hooks in you. I mean, I remember doing that. How we need perception. You say, why'd you do that? Why'd you do it? Because I knew that down the road, somewhere, somebody was going to try and persuade them that that's what they ought to do. And I just use a little bit of perception. I mean, even vision to look down the road and to see what would happen. Listen, train them, teach them, show them. Every one of you ought to get that tape of that message that I preached during the conference about the drawn away and the enticed and the lust and the sin and the death. Every one of you parents ought to get that and listen to it over and over until you get it drilled into your mind and understand it, and sit down with your children and teach them that truth. My goodness. Instead of making the boundaries over here where sin is, which is one step away from death, put the boundaries over here on the other side of drawing away. I'm telling you, folks, we're cutting our own throats because we're not people of perception. I want you to know the devil's out to destroy your family. I want you to know the devil's out to get your children. And he'll do anything he can to get them. Anything. Number four, Daniel was a man of power. Now, back in our text, back in chapter six, in our text, in verse 3, it says that Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes. Well, presidents, they're pretty high up on the ladder, aren't they? Princes, they're pretty high up on the ladder. And here was Daniel preferred above all of them. I'm not just saying that he was blessed and elevated to a position of power. I mean, after all, he held office in Babylon and he held office in the Medes and the Persians. But I'm saying that a man of purpose, a man of prayer, a man of perception will be a man of power. You say, well, preacher, you saying that if we've got purpose and perception and or purpose and we pray and perception that we'll all be elevated to positions of authority and all that? No, I'm not talking about that. All that doesn't mean anything. I'm saying you'll be a man of power. What do you mean by power? How about the power to say no? How about the power to do right? How about the power to overcome sin and temptation and worldliness? You see, folks, the highest courage is not the courage of the battlefield. It is the moral power to say no. That is what gets people into trouble, not being able to say no. They have no power. They have no power. They have that was that bulldog's problem of mine. She had no power. Listen, this honest truth. You come home from church and there's trash all over the kitchen. And she's under the as soon as you walk in the door. That's what she does. Can't say, what'd you do? I knew what she did. I knew it was all over the kitchen. I knew it. And guess who got to clean it up? So help me, you could get a new trash bag, pick it all up, put it back in the trash bag, and turn your back. And there she is over there again, bumping it with her head. Trying to knock it over. Whoops, it knocked over. She had no willpower. She had no ability to say no. I would set it back. And you say, why didn't you just pick it up and put it on the chair? I finally did. I learned. You know, when I spanked him, he didn't do it anymore. When I spanked them, they didn't do it anymore. But you get the newspaper and smack that dog, didn't matter. No willpower. As soon as you turn your back, right back in it again. You know, there's an awful lot of God's people that are the same way. But if you got purpose, and you're a man of prayer, and you've got some perception, and folks, all of this you get in a right relationship to the Word of God, you will then be an individual that has the power to say no. You will be the individual that has the ability, the strength, the wherewithal, not to be a tool and a pawn that the devil just moves around wherever he wants you to be. May God help us. Folks, here's the bottom line. It all comes down to this. If your purpose is centered in Jesus Christ and having a right relationship with Him, you will be able to pray and find grace. And that will lead you to a spiritual perception and understanding of what life is all about. And the Lord will then give you power to live a victorious and happy life. May God help us. May God help us all to look for these things as we proceed through the Christian life. But again, Christian, this book is where all these four things are found. May God help us to stay in the book. Bow your heads with me, please. Father, we just thank you so much for the Word of God. And I pray that you will bless what's been said here tonight. Lord, we realize that we are just sinners saved by grace. But Lord, every one of us that are saved can read the Bible. And we can learn and we can grow. Every one of us. The Spirit of God lives within us. And Lord, as we're in the book and reading the book, the Spirit of God is going to teach us the book and strengthen our spirit. That's going to give us purpose. That purpose will lead us to pray. Prayer will lead us to perception. Perception will lead us to power. Father, help us to see these four things out of Daniel's life. And to understand and know and realize what is needed in the Christian life is to get in the book and to stay faithful to the Word of God. Lord, I just pray that every one of us will purpose in our hearts that we want to be led by our spiritual man, not by our fleshly old nature. Lord, help us to have that heart tonight. May this altar be filled tonight with Christians who are just saying, I want to walk with God. I want to know the Lord. I want to know Him in the power of His resurrection. I want His hand upon me. I want Him teaching me and directing my life. Lord, may we have that heart tonight. May that be our purpose. Oh, dear Lord, stir the hearts of Your people, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.